Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Marcus.
What we are hearing, because
it is said, mayors of major American cities are on the front line of ensuring that the state of Black America is strong. In 2015, we confront and continue to confront the challenges of our cities with unemployment, unaffordable housing, injustice, and the gap in educational challenges. After my 2014 victory, I challenged a group of 100 boys and men of color to take Audio City of Hope Challenge. I participated and I gave participants a copy of the president's book before their winter break because I wanted them to look to him as an example of someone who got ahead by looking for ways to improve his community. I asked all participants to read the book, talk to their classmates about what they were in as a city and how could they make it better and come back to me with suggestions so that I could improve the demise of our cities. Let me go back in here to the studio. We have so many people right now that are sitting there. Let me give you some startling statistics because we wanted to talk about this. The high school dropout rate amongst our Black males as of 2013 is at 8%. Now, we might say that that is low. We may say that we are making great improvements. We are making great achievements. We are jumping in leaps and bounds. But because of the education, 2010, where our median wealth or income was at about $16,600, now in 2013, we find a drop to $11,000. What does that mean? It means because of the lack of education, poverty is more than 11 million Black individuals that are living below the poverty level. Why? Because of the lack of knowledge, because of the lack of education, because we are using our computers for everything except the basic things that it should be used for. Higher education. I'm going to give you a statistic. Higher education. 14% of 18 to 24-year-olds are now enrolling into higher education. 9% are from the age of 25 to 29, while our unemployment rate stands at a 10.4 whopping percent, yet our buying power is over $1 trillion. We need to educate our children. We have to sit back and we have to face the facts. We have to face the facts that we are in a dilemma, and the dilemma is major. It is major. It is catastrophic. It is a biblical proportion because when you look at those numbers and you start comparing them to how many Black Americans we have in that age range, you see a startling and alarming number that is scary even to those that publish these numbers. Yes, it is. Open Talk with Les Jackson. I want to say happy birthday to everybody on Facebook, Twitter, blogtalkradio.com, Get Glue, Tumble, my blog on WordPress. Everybody, enjoy yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, but it is time that we put our priorities in order. One clear and powerful way to change the trend in our nation of the disvaluing of Black life is to invest in sufficient and significant reform of our national public school system. Let me tell you something. You can call in right now at 718-664-9476. I want you to be a part of this conversation today because you know what? Who is supposed to educate our children? Who is responsible for sitting back and making it happen? Is it the teachers? Is it the outside peer pressure? Is it the parent? Because now parents have got lackadaisical and they're sitting on the couch just as much as our children are, and we wonder why we are facing the things that we are facing. Oh, it's stagnating. It's hurting. It's disappointing. It is sorrowful. When you sit back and you look at it, when you sit back and you look at the numbers, you see a startling number that is sitting back and is killing us. It's killing us. And you're probably going to hear a little echo in the conversation because we're running about two shows at one time. Oh, yes, we are running a couple of shows at one time because this is so crucial. It is so important that we sit back and educate our children because I'm going to tell you, at the end of the day, it boils down to you as the parent. Forget peer pressure. Forget the outside forces. Forget all of that. We are looking at a time where our children are being bombarded with all kinds of information. And I have to ask, is the information the right information or is it bad information? Look at our dropout rate. We say, well, 8% doesn't sound that bad. But you start looking at it from the tutorial totals of what is out there, and you start to see that we are in a pickle. We're in a pickle. When you start putting in the factor that one out of four of our children go to school hungry every morning, which lacks their ability to think on a level that is going to be concrete to make their concentration level equal to our counterparts, which sit down with their mothers and fathers and talk about the things that really matter. Let me put this in perspective for you. In today's world, college education is nearly prerequisite for a well-paying job. Let's face that fact. No education, no good job. So don't think that you can sit back and skate through this system and get a good job because the facts are showing it. In fact, by 2020, it is estimated that 65% of all jobs will require a post-secondary education and training beyond high school. Yet, as of 2013, only 20% of black adults, 20%, held a bachelor's degree compared to 40% of our white counterparts or peers. Now, I'm not trying to bring doom and gloom, but for every 100 African-American children who begin kindergarten, only 20 out of 100 will graduate with at least a bachelor's degree. If a child is not reading on grade level by the third grade, the chances are that they will never catch up. It's slim and none. These are facts. Yet, in 2013, only, and I'm going to say this, only 18% of African-American fourth graders are reading at or below grade level. The lowest rate amongst other racial and ethnic groups in the United States of America. Of the 82% of children that read below grade level, 75% of them would never catch up. Completing algebra in the eighth grade is often a getaway to higher learning. Yet in 2013, only 14% of African American eighth graders could do math at or above the grade levels. I want you to just listen, listen real good. A dropout rate will make $1.3 million less. A dropout. Somebody that drops out of high school will make about $1.3 million less over their lifetime than a college graduate. Now, you want to tell me that it doesn't matter and African Americans are dropping out of high school at twice the rate of their white peers? You want to tell me that education does not matter? You want to tell me, and I'm going to bring everybody in because I'm opening up the lines right now. First, I'm going to start with the area code 301-1127. Good afternoon. How are you? Say your name and what's on your mind.
How you doing, Les? This is Makeisha. I have a show on Blog Talk, but I'm a fan of your show. I'm listening in. My friend Ashley and I, we're listening in. Just getting, you know, your take. I think this is a great topic. It's timely. The state of Black America, who's educating our children. It's very timely, and I brought Ashley on so we can both give our perspectives as to, you know, why the...
Okay, well, Makeisha and Ashley, you have the floor. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Talk to us and tell me what's happening.
Yeah, part of the reason, like you said, whose fault is it? I mean, it starts with two people agreeing to have a child and bring a child into the world. So first and foremost, in my opinion, it's the job and the role of the parents. That's number one.
But not always.
Okay.
You can't. When you're older, when you're in high school, I dropped out of high school. I'm white. I did get my diploma, but my brother went off to college. I didn't. My parents did what they could with the both of us. I mean, it's up to that. You can instill in them all the morals and integrity and everything about having to go to school and go to college and do something with your life, but if they don't want to do it, they're not going to do it.
I like that, Makeisha. I like that because that's strong. You know what? It's not about if you drop out, it's where you're going to go with it. And too many times in the inner city, there has been so much of a decline in the progress to where a lot of people in the inner city has given up hope. They've lost hope. There is no hope. And education, many times we don't value it. A man told me once that, you know, I don't care what you do in life, Les, you can bump your head 1,000 times, but if you don't take but one class, at least advance your knowledge where you can sit back and at least open up a door when the door needs to be open. Ashley, you want to say something?
I agree with you.
I like that. Ashley, thank you so much. First-time caller?
Yes. This is
okay, Ashley, we want to give you a big welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Open Talk with Les. Let me bring 111-1111 in. Is that Joe? Okay, 111 has nothing to say. Let me go to 240-2277. Good afternoon and welcome to Blog Talk, Open Talk with Les Jackson. How are you?
How you doing? I'm fine.
Fantastic.
Interesting thing. Back in 2013, and it was shocking to me, but I was told, and I had to go look it up, that only between 30 to 35% of Americans total had a college degree. Like, if you took the total population of America, not stratifying age groups or, you know, different races or whatnot, just the whole country. And I said, wow, that's really small but big. And I thought about it, and I said to myself, okay, you have a lot of kids who are not black, and when they get out of high school, they have somewhere to go. They have a relative who has a factory or some type of workshop or garage for them to work in, and it just seems like a feeder where when they get out of high school or if they go into a, let's say, the GED program, they have somewhere to go afterwards. And they don't really count as a negative statistic. Now, the weird thing that I found was I grew up in a rural country area, and we didn't have a lot. We had, like, nothing. Like, I had everybody had a big field in the back of their house, a big backyard, and we would till it up and put whatever the seasonal crop was in there. And, I mean, we were out there dirty clothes with the pigs and the chickens. And when I moved into the inner city area, I was taking AP classes because I was breezing through. I was like, okay, we don't have anything where I'm from, but – one thing that gave me a leg up was the fact that I would work in the shops, in the garage and in the different wood shops and stuff with my uncles and stuff. And so all of those things, the geometry and all that stuff, it made more sense when I could apply it to something that I actually had to do for a living, that I had to do every day. And I looked in the inner city and I saw seeing them pulling all these programs, and I said to myself, these kids, what are they going to do with what you teach them? They don't – all of the things that you would use those skills for, if they can't see it in real life to use it, then it's nothing. It's just numbers and words. You know, I mean, it's just a bunch of information that they have no concept of touching or feeling or anything. Because I understood how cutting a piece of wood this many centimeters off there or this many centimeters off that, or how to bore a piece of metal, those numbers meant something to me. The difference between, you know, a few centimeters here, a few centimeters there, even with chemistry, those numbers meant something to me. You know, it didn't mean anything to anybody else in the city, but it meant something to me. So when I look at it, there's just, in all honesty, there's not enough opportunities in the inner city for the kids to be able to use those skills. And so those programs, they get taken out of the schools. You know, those.
Now, let me ask you this question. Let me stop you for 1 second. You said there's not enough opportunity when we live in a land of opportunity where, you know what, we have to face a fact. And this is a fact. Factories are not coming back. People are no longer, employers are no longer looking for those that are not technologically advanced. And we have to learn that we are moving into an age where we can no longer depend upon somebody else to sit back and to pave a way to give us anything. Let me just give you a statistic that you may not know, something that may find you even shocked. There is 1.9 billion or million, I'm sorry, 1.9 million black business owners throughout the United States, and that is not including non-farmers. That is not including those that own businesses, that own farms, or work in the rural areas, but just in the larger areas. Blacks are achieving, and I have to ask the question today. I want to get an answer to this. Who is educating our children? Are we telling children that they can't make it due to the powers that be, or are we telling our kids you can make it if you try, as Sly Stone said back in the early 70s? Come on back in here and talk to me, somebody.
Now, I'm afraid
the light, the The phone is lighting up. I'm bringing everybody in because everybody wants to talk about this topic. I'm going to give everybody 2 minutes, and we're going into overtime, so let's talk about it. Come on.
Hello?
Yes.
Can I say what
you're
I want to say?
You're on live with
this.
Open Talk with Les Jackson. This is Les Jackson. Talk to me.
Well, I have a question. We always give statistics. We always give statistics of how bad the black community is doing. I'm waiting for somebody to give me some statistics how good they are doing.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Here's a statistic. Let me give you a statistic on how good we are doing.
But let me
actually
tell you
watch this. I'm going to give you a statistic. You asked for a statistic. I'm going to give it to you. Let me give you the statistic. Actually, we have only moved a point from 8.62 to 0.27 in our inclusive education. Yes, this is the bamboozlement that we hear. We are talking about how good we're doing, but we're not doing good, and the future is not looking bright when you sit back and think about how many blacks are in America, and we're spending $1 trillion, and yet our educational system is running amok. We are allowing this to happen.
Can I explain something to you, Les?
Come on and talk to me.
This American system, they ain't doing good in the whole system. Get that one right.
The whole
so you're
system
take
is not doing
that
good,
to you.
But
no,
when you look at
education,
the progress.
The progress. Let me tell you what the progress is.
Let me put it like this. And see, this is the delusion
no,
that
the
we all face.
The gloom and doom
it's
is
a
that
delusion.
We
let me tell you why it's a delusion. We sit back and we always worry about what somebody else is doing. I'm not worried about what somebody else is doing.
I'm tell
worried
you,
about what these people around my
tell
community.
You,
what
no,
I watch,
no, no,
watch
let me tell you what,
when I watch
I tell you what
people
they
losing that? Their homes, when I watch people become homeless that once had a medium income, listen to what I said and listen to this. You might not believe this. You might want to deny it. The medium,
no, I'm not denying. I'm going to tell you what they are doing.
This.
Young
if
people are doing technology and all of this stuff that you don't even know. If you looked at that, you would find to see the things that they're
doing.
This. They're if doing business with the world. They're not only doing business with this country. They're outside of this country.
No, they're
doing
not.
Business.
Look,
like
look,
Africans.
Look,
yes,
let's
they
face
are.
It. We live in a
yes,
global world.
That's
okay,
right, we're
in a global
world, and they're doing
global
things.
This is global society. Most of the blacks that are doing business don't care where they do
like you. They sit by laughing at people
like me
that
what?
The gloom and doom.
That believe in global economy?
They're doing good things.
People like me that believe in global
you got
economy
kids creating
and
stuff,
sit back and
you got
reach
them creating
out
stuff and
will
making
expand
money every
to
day.
Make their dollar holler? Don't tell me about not expanding.
No, making a dollar holler because,
make a,
because
dollar
a lot of people
holler.
Lost their
that's
house.
What we got to do. Start making
no,
the dollar holler
no.
And start,
it's
and start throwing it away on gym
no.
shoes and video games
no,
and all these things that don't matter.
No,
I'm telling
that's
you.
That's the gloom and doom part of it. So when we give out statistics, make sure we know what we're giving
that
out.
Is the
no,
fact
that's not
that
doing
gloom. Whether you want to see it or not, that is what we are facing. And then
you
we'll
only face
sit
what
back.
You see.
Okay, let me bring somebody else in. Let me bring somebody
please,
else.
Because you just facing
because
what you see. You know,
every,
I'm
I gave you a floor.
I'm above
let
that.
Me give somebody
no,
else
give
the class, and we're going to go
okay.
into overtime. So you just stay right there because I'm coming
yeah,
back
I'm
to you.
Yeah, I'm going to stay right here.
Maze,
come back
I'm coming
too.
Back to you. Come
okay.
on in here. Another call. Give me your viewpoint. What do you see? What's wrong? What's the breakdown? Somebody please step to the floor.
Yes, they don't want to.
Hey.
Oh.
Yep, I hear you. Come on. Yes, I hear you. Come out.
Well, Les, I was listening to your heated debate. I was really just intrigued by the, me actually just kind of intrigued by that between you and that lady.
Well, you know, people are going to get intrigued. They get, you know, we get flustered because we sit back and we bring things
we,
to light.
We're not getting, oh. See, ladies,
and
got,
I don't
well,
want you to be
got,
flustered.
Oh.
Don't be flustered. Don't
me
get don't. Upset. But what I want you to do
I
is
upset.
I want you to look at the big picture.
Join
look,
the conversation.
When you start looking at things in 100%, and when they tell you only 10%, that means you got 90% of people that are just lackadaisical. That is a problem. And we need
right.
to sit back, and we must educate our children. We must sit back and tell them the importance of having knowledge. And it's not about the teachers teaching. We know that most teachers now, I tried to get a teacher in here that sat back, and told us last week in national news that the inner cities amongst blacks and other ethnic groups of less income were being sabotaged. The excuse she gave me for not coming on the show is that she was too busy working with other districts. Now, this is a black woman.
Can I say something?
Come on.
You see, the inner cities are changing. So you can't count the inner city anymore because the inner all around this country is changing to the suburbs. And the suburbs are becoming the inner city. So those statistics are going out the window there. But I'm talking about the education of the black kids. A lot of black kids are in the technology doing things you wouldn't believe that they're doing. I mean, making big traps. Starting
you know
at
what? Kindergarten.
Put it in
there. There is only 2% of black children that are actually moving toward doing anything in the technological age and the technological field. Most of our kids in the inner city are still on the fantasy that they can be a basketball player, a football player, when we know that less than 1% of anybody that goes to the NCAA ever comes out to make pro. So let's not put that fantasy out there.
No,
I don't want to intrude that on our people. See, this is what's wrong. We living on Fantasy Island.
When you were talking about that other group that you were talking about that put out these statistics, if you believe the statistics, remember when they used to say that the black woman was the welfare queen? And it came out that she was.
Yeah.
And people just listened to it, and they come to find out the truth. More white people on welfare than these black people, but we have a spread. We need to
like
spread stuff. People give
I would like your argument.
Newt Gingrich told you himself.
White folks that
were
putting
these
statistics out.
If it was white folks feeding me this statistic, I may fall for that foolishness.
But these are black organizations that are telling you that we are in a dilemma.
What do you think they got?
We are in a dilemma, and it's not just here. It's not just here.
Can I tell you about some professional people? Lance, some young people. They start at 21. They have their own businesses, and they got a little sites on the internet where they talk to each other and doing things with each other. Because one has a $10 million company, and he's only 34 years old. But what you thought he was doing, you'd be surprised. And then there was another one that's a lawyer. He got his degree.
I'm not talking about doom and gloom. I'm telling you statistics and facts that
I don't believe
we
are in a good state.
Let me tell you something. Anytime Hispanics and Mexicans are moving toward above us in class of citizenship, it is a dilemma.
Really?
Whether you want to see that or not, that's on you.
The dilemma is that you're going to be second in line, not third. You're going to be second in line.
You're going
to
be third.
And if you know how to speak Spanish,
you're going to be
along with them. But if you didn't learn communicate with them, you're going to be lost.
Hold on, Maze. Don't try to take up the whole show. Come on, let somebody else talk.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I have a question. Okay.
Go ahead.
Do you feel as being part of the black community that you have to that you should do something about this?
Yes, I feel that it is my obligation. As a person has lived and been a pillar in my community over 40 years.
Whether I was here or not,
I came back.
Okay, listen.
And I had to come back.
Okay. You feel you should do something, but here's the thing. The black community doesn't do shit. They talk and they walk, but they don't make any actions to do anything.
No, that's not the problem.
You are absolutely correct.
If you look at the president,
the black community would not support another black brother or sister, and it has nothing to do with color.
It has to do with us pulling ourselves up from
the bootstraps and saying, look, we've overcome the slavery drama. That's done. That's gone.
It's not.
It is. It's over. The
no,
only
it's not.
person person that keeps you in a shackle is you.
You let me explain
yourself.
When this lady talking to you saying the black community don't do anything
yourself.
For themselves, let me tell you this. Like the lady said, the black community don't do anything for themselves. That's what the white power movement think that the president can't do.
No, that's what the white community. When you're
looking around your community, you see all of them abandoned buildings. Why aren't you charging them? That is not a fantasy. That ain't got nothing to do with it. That is reality. What delusion are you living in? What'd you say? I just told you what kind of world I'm living in and the kind of people I'm living around and the things that I do.
You in the gloom, but are you giving back? Are you sitting back? Oh, yes, I give back every day. What are you doing for the inner city?
Let me tell you, I babysitted some of them when they were babies for their mothers for free so they could go to work. And so they made something out of themselves. That's why I can communicate with them, and I'm telling you what they're doing. But you tell me which one you picked up. My mother did the same thing.
She's a matriarch. When she died on the 22nd, she was a matriarch of the community. When she died on the 22nd of January, people respected her, came out. I was surprised. I was shocked because I never knew so many people were looking so much at the Jackson family.
It's trusting me, let's put each other down when they want to take the woman down. It's not putting us down, it's making us aware. We don't want to see the truth. I see the truth every day. You denying the truth.
Me, I'm not denying a damn thing.
Yes, you are.
The only thing I'm denying is the fact that we're not doing all we can do.
That's what you are denying. You ain't doing all you can do, but kids are doing what they need to do.
Why am I? Do you know me that well? No, you don't.
You don't know people that well. You just know the one on your block.
Don't make blunt statements. You can't back up. If you're in your block,
you ain't going to see nothing else.
I tell people every day I own a credit restoration business. That tries to get black men and black women to the status. I sit back and educate black men and black women on how they can sit back and develop a business plan that's comprehensive, that they can go ahead and get the loans that are available. I sit back and tell black men and black women who come to me every day and ask me, can you help me get a grant? I sit back, all these things I have is attributes. But you know what? It's not enough. Because it's not about me patting myself on the back and talking about what I bring to the table. It's about educating and putting the education out there so that we can move forward. Y'all got all the uproar over the little shooting, over the shooting of a black boy. We got all the rows over the shooting of innocent black men, but yet we're not doing anything to sit back and talk about the black-on-black crime.
When are you going to protest black on black crime? You know why I'm not going to? Because the crime, when it was given into the community, when they were doing the protests against bringing drugs into the community, I was there protesting. Where was you?
You know what? When Noriega was bringing drugs into the community,
did you become a part of it, or did you try to? Who was they? The one that participated in it? Where was you, Les?
Where was you at, Les? That it was designed to destroy us. We knew all of this.
Just because of the design, I wasn't a part of it.
You didn't have to be a part of it. If you didn't do anything to stop it, you were a part of it. You were a hindrance.
When you said that the governor that you got now is going to make Detroit better because he was a white man. No, you're a part of the problem because you've been part of the system. I ain't never been part of the system. I'm a part of the problem because you want to come on and just want to make me a part of the problem.
But I was trying to give you some solution. I was trying to have a decent conversation without all this uproar. Anyway, you know what? Let me tell you something. We've run out once again. You can catch me on Monday night on the AM station, KKIP.
We didn't get nothing accomplished.
We did get a lot of compliments. We brought a lot of good issues out.
I'm telling you to stop following white people. all white people have to do is take an ACT and wipe with them. Because I don't find
okay.
a statistic.
May, anyway, I am glad that you came on to the show. I am glad that you participated.
And
I'm glad
upset.
That your opinion was voiced so strongly.
That's right.
And
then
you know
what? And
you know what? I hope you would join us for part three and part four.
And you know I will.
Because this is a four-part series. We are talking about, and I want everybody to sit back. I want you to read the 2015 State of Black America, Are We in a Crisis? By the National Black Committee.
Really? And see how much they got paid
back.
For that.
And put their thing, how much they get paid.
And see how much they got paid for that.
A grant,
put that out.
You can
and we supposed to believe it. And we supposed to believe
it's
it.
It's not so much believing it. It's I'm
if I believe
saying.
That every house is every house in Detroit, I'll go pay for it. You have to put somebody in it.
Please look in your community and see the downfall. See where it was when you first got there and where it's at right now. I mean, the facts are on the wall. The handwriting is on the wall. Let's not act. And I'm getting ready to mute everybody for a second. Just for 1 second, I got to mute everybody. Let's not act as if we can't see the handwriting on the wall. Let's not act as if we don't understand that the rest of the world is progressing and we are regressing. Slowly but surely, this thing is falling apart. The world is becoming a ghetto all over the world. It's not just here in America, as I first stated. It's not just here. Education levels are down in Africa. They're down in all of the Middle East. They're down in Europe. They're down everywhere. So we have a problem. And the problem must be addressed because don't you know that the 1% don't give a damn about how you feel or what you think at the end of the day. All they are looking at is where are they going to go from here and how can they suck that $1 trillion out of you. See, you don't have to have education to get your money sucked away from you, but you do need education to keep your money in your pocket. We need to start waking up and really smelling some coffee. We need to stop sitting back and perpetrating this fraud that everything is happy-go-lucky in black land. And it has nothing to do with white folks. Like I said, I'm skeptical of white folks just like I am black folks. I'm more leery, though, about that man that lived next door to me because, like I said earlier, and I've said on several shows for the last 3 years, it's not the white man that comes down in my neighborhood that sits back and rips me off, that Negro next door. They want what I got because he see the potential. He thinks that I have more than what I have. So I am very proud. I'm very happy to sit back and say, I am a community team player. Come on in here. I'm going to start at the 301.
1127. You got any commentary? Les, I think Ashley has some things to say.
Come on, Ashley.
I feel like I don't understand why it has to be a white black thing, Spanish thing. Like, people are going to do what they want to do. Stop focusing on color and race. Why don't you better yourself? Focus on you, because people are going to do whatever they want to do.
Ashley, I like that. Ashley, you summed it up. We are all people. People have
Thank
to learn
you.
To be people. We have to learn that all of this was made for us as a collective,
really?
Not as an individualized type of society where I'm in tribal mode because there is no tribes no more. Thank you so much, Ashley. I hope you come back for part three because tomorrow we're going to be talking about crime and punishment because there have been injustices. And this is not just a white issue or a black issue. This is a collective issue. Pro-whites have suffered just as much as pro-blacks have. But we tend to want to put this funnel vision, oh, it's all about us because we're black people and we were enslaved. No, no. Slavery was over a long time ago. Get over it. live for tomorrow and live for today, because it ain't a damn thing you can do about slavery.